Sefer Shemos comes to an end with a repetition of the building of the Mishkan. The details, intricacies, measurements, materials appear superfluous, and finding something inspiring to discuss becomes ever more challenging. The parshiyos are nothing more than an architectural blueprint, one that has become obsolete, given that the Mishkan will never be rebuilt, never be reconstructed. But that being said, there's an interesting question that appears in both the Ohev Yisrael and the Kedushat Levi, the Abderav and the Berdichever. And the Gemara in Tainis Daf Yud Amud Beis tells us that Eina Bracha Mitzuya Lo B'Davar HaShakol Lo B'Davar HaMadud Lo B'Davar HaManoi, that bracha is not found in that which is not weighed, not with what is measured, not with what is counted, and only that which is hidden from the eye. The moment you count your money, the moment you weigh your gold, the ability for it to miraculously grow has dwindled. But the Mishkan was a place of bracha. The paradox is that the Mishkan was a place of bracha, despite the fact that every beam and every rod and every wall, every curtain was precisely measured. In the entire Torah, nothing pales in comparison to the technical details prescribed to the building of the Mishkan. The description of the Mishkan is the most calculated and meticulous section of the entire Torah. And yet, in a perplexing turn of events, the Mishkan was the biggest source of bracha. How can we possibly reconcile this blatant contradiction of the Gemara and Tainus? How is it possible that the house of the Shekhinah, the source of all bracha, at the same time be the most limited, the most irregulated, and the most defined parsha than any other segment of the Torah? How can a bracha exist in a place that's so confined? The Gemara tells us the more confined, the more defined it is, the less the bracha is mitzuya. The Mishkan was so defined, and yet the bracha was so apparent, so incredible. And so the Abderav and the Berdichever both answer that the bracha depends on how you look at something. One can look at something either with the eyes of Bilam HaRasha, or with the eyes of a Yid. Bilam looked at the world with an Ayin Hara. The manner in which Ayin Hara works is beyond our discussion, but in short, when a person looks at something or someone with an Ayin Hara, it means that he's looking at it from a place of jealousy, place of kinna. Bilam wanted to take that which was not his. Bilam wanted everything for himself, and somehow, metaphysically, an Ayin Hara disconnects the item from its life source. It's no different than detaching a tree from the ground, and it just dwindles. There's no longer any bracha. But when a Jew looks at someone else's property or someone else's fortune, it's with a completely different set of eyes. The Pasuk in Shir Hashirim says, Einayach bereichos b'cheshvan, that your eyes are a source of bracha, a pool of blessing, even on that which has been counted. In other words, even when something has a cheshvan, it can still be a source of bracha. Einayach bereichos b'cheshvan. It all depends on your eyes and how you look at something. How does that work? How are the eyes of a Yid different? When a Jew looks at someone else, he sees the Ribono Shelam. When a Jew looks at someone else's fortune, he sees the Ribono Shelam. When a Jew looks at someone else's success, he sees the Ribono Shelam. As Jews, we take pride in our friend's success. As Jews, we see the source of all triumph, Hashem Yisbarach. As long as we attribute success to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we commit zocha to all the bracha in the world. But once we look with the eyes of kinna, with eyes of jealousy, we have ended the possibility of any further growth, success, or bracha. The gematria, the numerical difference between kinna im hakolel, 157, and bracha 227, the difference is 70, the letter ayin. The difference between jealousy and bracha is how you look at something, how you use your ayin, how you use your eyes. There's an interesting din in the Mishnah of Maseches Megillah Daf Tesamid Beis that distinguishes between the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim versus the Mishkan in Shiloh. The halacha states that kachim kalim, certain types of karbanos, and ma'aser sheni, certain types of fruits that the farmer needs to separate, may only be eaten within the borders of Yerushalayim. With respect to Mishkan Shiloh, however, one may eat in any city that can see the city of Shiloh. The term the Mishnah uses is Bechol HaRoeh. Anyone who can see the city of Shiloh may eat Kachim Kalim and Ma'aser Sheni, even if you're outside the borders of Shiloh. So why is there a special leniency for Mishkan Shiloh, that as long as you can see the city, one may eat Kachim Kalim, one may eat Ma'aser Sheni? Yerushalayim, you have to be in the city limits. What's the connection between Shiloh and visibility? The Sefer Siach Sarfei Kodesh, the following idea is explained in the name of the Kotzker Rebbe. The city of Shiloh was in the portion, the Chelek of Eretz Yisrael, given to Yosef. And the Pasuk describes Yosef as Ben Paras Alei Ayin. That Yosef was above any Ayin Hara, Alei Ayin. He lived in the world of Ayin Tov, of looking favorably at people, looking at the good, at the positive. Subsequently, the borders of the Mishkan Shiloh depend on Bechol Roha, on vision, based on Yosef's incredible vision in Ayin Tov. Yosef's very name means to increase, Hosafa, a reference to the Koach of a Bracha, to increase, to have more. Yosef was the Bechor which shared the same basic letters as a Bracha, Beis Ereshin Chav. And a Bechor is a symbol of Bracha. For one, that he gets double portion. Further, it's pointed out that the Shorish of Bechor is Beis Chav Resh, are increasing numerically. Beis is 2, Chav is 20, Resh is 200. 2, 20, 200. We can now appreciate why the Mishkan, the place of Bracha, resided in the portion of Yosef, who was the Bechor and the symbol of Bracha. That Bracha that emanates from the Mishkan and that Bracha that emanates from Yosef depend on Ali Ayin. Looking at people with an Ayin Tov, with a sense of pride and satisfaction, leads to tremendous Bracha. And for that reason, the Mishkan Shiloh was Bechol Roeh, anyone who saw the city. And in his introduction to Sefer Shmos, the Netziv points out that every Sefer of Chumash has a nickname other than Sefer Shmos. Bereishis is called Sefer Yetzirah. Vayikra is called Toras Kohanim. Bat Midbar is called Pekudim. Devarim is called Mishnah Torah. Sefer Shmos is simply called Chumash Sheini. There's no special nickname. Perhaps this alludes to the Beis Abracha, the Chumash Sheini, Chumash Beis, the Beis Abracha, the Beis of Bechor, the letters of Bechor, Beis Chav Resh, 2, 20, 200. And as we conclude Chumash Sheini and the construction of the Mishkan, we should be reminded that nothing can get in the way of a bracha. Nothing can get in the way of achievement and prosperity. We should all be zocha to see all that bracha, to see the Ayin Tov, see that bracha, experience the bracha and shefa from above with the rebuilding of the Mishkan, the final Mishkan. That even though that Mishkan was so limited and so defined, and still, if a Yid looks at someone with Ayin Tov, nothing gets in the way of bracha. So we should be zocha to the final Mishkan, to the Bayis Shlishi, with the B'yas Gol Tzedek Meher V'Yameinu. Amen V'Amen.